Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 92, Two Bastards, a Manson and a Pineapple Hitler.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
And this is Anvil.
And joining us on a special episode are...
I'm Phil the Issues Guy.
And JC Sargent.
Yeah,
we thank these wonderful bastards for having us in here.
Yeah, because they're going to be soon members of the Eshumbrella.
Yeah, we're pretty...
Whoa, wait, I got an issue with that.
What?
Well, last time I heard, you know, Umbrella Corporation, Resident Evil, we got such a...
First thing that came to mind when I heard that.
Yeah.
Do you call it the Land of Ash like we used to? Because, you know, I'm going to have nightmares about zombies.
I'm Wesker. Yes. I'm Wesker. Hands down.
But yeah, if you want to follow either of us, you can find me at I Got Issues Man at Twitter, and you can find him at...
At JC Sargent, or at JC Sargent at... Twitter, and also I'm also a co-moderator on the Issues Guy Facebook page.
Right, yes. If you just Google the Issues Guy, the Facebook page is actually the first thing that comes up.
Ustream.tv, the Issues Guy, or just do a search for the Issues, and then it says the Issues Show.
And pretty soon our stuff will be posted.
We're everywhere.
Stuff, so
yes.
it'll be easier to find us, and we'd like to thank these wonderful bastards for having us in here today.
Yeah. You see... Yeah, Phil and I have been friends since Salem State College.
Yeah, we've done television with radio, and it was actually...
He was the first friend I made at Salem State.
Yeah, it was a romantic time back in the young...
Hi, I'm the Issues Guy.
Hi, you like Star Trek, too? I like Star Trek. Let's talk about how much we hate George Lucas now.
Oh my God.
And basically, most of our classes would turn into me and him in the back arguing, and our TV professor saying, "Shut up!" And I actually directed in a scene from a news radio episode
playing
the Dave Foley character.
Yes, that was Dave Foley.
And you directed me as Jesus.
Oh my God, that is like my all-time favorite thing we've ever done.
Things, yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Especially the outtakes.
Was this recorded at all?
Yes, this needs to go onto YouTube.
It's not on YouTube yet?
No, it's not.
It's, okay, we went through one run-through, it went okay. Second run-through, you screwed up in the beginning.
Yep.
Third run-through, we just zoom in your face, and you're like...
Losing it.
Oops.
Oh yeah, we're destroying. We're having an earthquake here down in Bastardville here. But yeah, it was great. And then we had some amazing outtakes where most of the stuff hit the floor because I was a little bit too dirty playing My Sweet Jesus. Against my wishes, everyone in class made me play Jesus, and it was voted on. I got outvoted. They were like, "How many people want the Issues Guy to be Jesus?" And everyone's hands in the room go up, and I'm like,
"What a surprise!"
I'm like, no, okay, so it's either Jesus or Manson.
We want you to play Rock Russia number Ghoul. Two.
Or Ra's al Ghul, or... Russell Brand, but anyways.
Charlie Manson.
We were just talking about Justin Bieber before we've turned on the...
Well, since we're talking about Justin Bieber, now, Blue couldn't be here because he's stuck at work, and I know he'd appreciate this joke.
He's at a Justin Bieber concert right now, actually.
Yes.
So, a mom goes upstairs to bring up the laundry. She walks by her daughter's room. And she hears, "Oh, baby." She buzzes, "Are you listening to Justin Bieber?" No, I swear, I'm just masturbating.
Oh, my God. But anyways, we're very excited to be here with the Bastards, and we're bringing in our brand of geek cred. You know, I'm like a Star Trek, Warcraft, old school Nintendo fan of epic proportion, and JCR loves the, you know, what do you love in the middle of the night, sir?
Trolling
he
hard.
He likes trolling, yeah. He likes anime, porn, and, you know.
Things with tentacles.
Yeah,
things with tentacles. You know what? I'm actually quite excited because now that Japanese has a whole lot of radiation, you're going to get a whole lot of Japanese hot, like, you know, those hot little girls. I would say, oh, God. That came out so bad.
No,
hot little girls.
But we're, I don't know, we're.
God damn it, let me fix my existence.
No, it's too late. It's been so
hot little girls with tentacles, damn it.
He likes the octopus.
He does like, he does. He loved the
octopus.
He has this dream with Doc Ock with a female head on, and it's pretty exciting.
Too many doujinshins. Sorry.
But I love the 90s cartoons and all that sort of stuff, and yeah, I know he's sick of a lot of the old school cartoons and into everything that's new.
I'm
and
not
that,
sick,
and
I'm just great. With forward, I'm with forward progression.
And it's kind of funny because how hentai seems lacking of tentacles, whereas mainstream anime with the fan service has so much more technical stuff these days.
Yeah. When the user-generated stuff is always going to be more creative because they don't have an editor to look at it and stuff. Somebody just throws it up on...
I don't know, just some of the stuff that you showed me, it's like so many colors, it makes my head want to explode, and I get sick and kind of vertigo from watching.
What are you talking about? I watched Summer Wars.
Oh my god, such an amazing movie.
Not that. I like that. It was something else that you
let me just say,
Summer Wars was great. I have to admit, I watched that.
King Baby Duck.
Let me just say that I feel like Summer Wars, The Social Network, and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World are like three movies that greatly define our generation.
Okay, well, will y'all talk about this? I'm going to go somewhere else. I know shit about what y'all talking
because
about.
Social Network shows the negative.
We're speaking everything in a foreign language.
Right, because...
I understand two-thirds of what he said.
The Social Network showed,
showcased
the negative aspect of social networking. Summer Wars showcased the positive aspect. And then you have Scott Pilgrim, which represents our whole video game generation.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I think also The Social Network, what it did a great job of, is better than most movies of this age. It did a great job as displaying the dialogue that people actually have in those sort of circles, and that's what I think the beyond anything else in the message of that movie, I think the dialogue and the writing in that movie is so bloody amazing.
Exactly, and it's writing.
Yes. Real. That first scene with him and his girlfriend is just amazing, and just the way it progresses, and I guess from what I read, they, on IMDb, they shot that scene, just that scene alone, 96 times get it right.
Now, are you talking about his girlfriend, or the girlfriend that he got drunk and talked about?
The girlfriend. The scene leading into when he talked.
Well, Ball and Biscuit by the White Stripes starts playing in the background. That scene.
They kept doing that, because he didn't want it, and the director did not want that in different cuts. He wanted it to go completely through to have the natural feel, and they shot it 96 times.
It's funny because, as what a lot of people don't realize, know from reality, is that Zuckerberg has had the same girlfriend even before
Asian
Facebook.
Girlfriend before Facebook. Yep.
So that whole thing was fictitious.
I'm all for Hollywood mixing it up in slightly boring stories to add me some flair, because I don't care about reality. I care about Hollywood.
I care about fantasy.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. I want fantasy in my reality.
Well, see, one thing I gotta say is, you know, you guys are talking about, you know, things that defined our generation. You gotta throw the movie Expendables in there.
Yeah.
We come from a very violent part of time. Don't sit down.
I fell asleep watching.
What the Expendables did, it's because you didn't stick around. If you got to make it through a section of that movie to get to the greatness of the end of it.
Truthfully, that movie shows the war that's going on.
Oh, actually, I didn't think. I thought you were talking about the animated superhero movie. Not the Expendables.
The Incredibles.
The Incredibles. Yeah, the Expendables with Sylvester Stallone. Oh, yeah, I'm getting up on it. No, I did like parts of it. What I didn't like about it was Sylvester Stallone's face job. Obviously, he had just had plastic surgery right before, and it didn't have time to wear off.
Come on, he didn't have plastic surgery.
And I wanted more. Dolph Lundgren.
You have the floor,
thank
sir.
You. All right, there were four films that came out that year that were similar. You had The Expendables, you had The Losers, you had The A-Team, and you had Red.
Well, remember, most...
Expendables was the best of them all.
Actually, I disagree. I liked the Losers storyline. The A-Team was fun to watch because just the crazy stuff they did in there. Mm-hmm. And then just seeing the cast in Red.
But truth be told, the rest of those are all remakes.
Well, yes. True.
Yeah. Expendables was the only original.
Adaptation, remake...
Adaptation.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry, Terry Crews walking down that hallway with a shotgun?
Oh.
Come on.
Okay.
I remember, I'm like, I love that gun in Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, try shooting it.
The Expendables was a good 80s, 90s
throwback
action film in the way that Hot Tub Time Machine was a good comedy. And nothing special, but alright.
Movie sucked.
Which one?
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Sucked.
I'm the only one in the group that saw it.
I liked it because it almost felt to me like they were redoing an 80s movie. And that's what I was saying with The Expendables, that it felt like it was a redo of an 80s, 90s, old school Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Commando, Rambo type.
Commando
was my favorite. Yes. Commando was my favorite. The knife fight at the end.
Have you ever seen the Nostalgia Critic review of Commando?
Yes, I have. I'm glad that you're a Nostalgia Critic fan.
Mommy, can I have some cookies? Can I have some ice cream?
That guy cracks me. I have to give him a plug. Anyone out there, watch the Nostalgia Critic. He's one of the... Yeah. His reviews of some old stuff. He just did a review of the X-Men comic book.
Yeah.
The cartoon series that was just...
And he's right. The whole thing about X-Men is secretly about GLBT acceptance.
Yep. It really is, and it does a good job of conveying that with some kick-ass action and Wolverine slashing the fuck out of things.
Yes,
I love Wolverine. He's a man.
But
Hugh Jackman, the boy from Oz, as Wolverine.
I've been a huge fan of Wolverine since I was little, and he wore the ugly yellow and blue. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very excited for the new Wolverine project till Aronofsky dropped out, but I'm curious who they're going to get for another director. I think they should just get Quentin Tarantino. They're doing it, the Japan Wolverine story, just totally make it a bloodbath.
Just rewrite it so it's add to Hiroshima.
Wait.
Dude, make it the most, like, epic dialogue. Just think of just the conversations they would have in this movie.
I just think they put a lot of time and effort into what I've read.
Would you really want to watch Wolverine have an epic dialogue just like... at the start of, like, in Inglourious Basterds? Just have him he brings in his knives and just goes... Listen here, bub.
If it leads up to him hacking and slashing a room of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, yes, I could deal with that sort of anticipation. Like the ride up in a roller coaster.
They should get three people together for one reason. Quentin Tarantino, plenty of blood. Michael Bay, great explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli Roth, just so they can steal his life from Inglourious Basterds. Have Wolverine with a deer on his knees, pull out one claw.
That's not a bad idea. Getting multiple directors to do this to take care of different stages, because Aronofsky had a very big plan for this,
right?
And the studio wants to stick to it.
The only reason I want Eli Roth is so Wolverine takes that claw and decapitates the dude.
I'm Teddy freaking Baseball. Fenway Park's on their feet. The head's on Lansdowne Street.
But they can't see the ball. They have to see the head. Just be funny. I love that line when you know. The bear Jew clocks the dude across the head with the baseball bat.
Come, Inglourious Basterds.
Dude, we were all on our feet in the theater.
Yes.
Every time they
Inglourious Basterds single-handedly had the greatest ending to a World War II movie ever.
Yeah, like, that's what I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
It's
almost I wanted that to be the
whole... I wanted me to get assassinated.
What?
It's a joke. It's a joke because apparently everybody at work in the last three days, people say, you know who you look like? And I'm like, let me guess. Hitler. And they go, yeah. I'm like, I hate you.
I don't see it. I read this.
I kind of do.
Okay, cover this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm scared.
I'm not fueling.
Guys, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Take
no. That's what they were doing.
I'm so the odd man out here. I'm in some serious trouble here.
Why? Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Dude, is this sad? We're doing a podcast with... Hitler and Charles Manson.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Accents of evil!
You guys are the ones that are...
Helter Skelter! Helter Skelter!
No lie, I think for Halloween, You should actually just shave off the goatee and go as Hitler.
Yeah, you can do that. You can pull it
and
off.
And then shave off
you
the
can mustache. You can Tom Green it. Show up to Bar Mitzvahs.
No. No. No, no. No, then you stuff your shirt, you go as Girl Hitler from... Venture Brothers.
See, that could make it funny. Yeah, that's when you can dress like Hitler.
Or torture Hitler from Little Nicky.
Little Nicky.
Just walk around with pineapples
hanging out your ass. Yeah.
Like I could dress up like Hitler and I take off my jacket and I'm in a maid's outfit. And I'm like, it's okay because I'm torturing Hitler.
Pineapple.
On my ass.
I love how the devil's like, no, smaller, bigger pineapple, Hitler. That's the best part of Little Nicky.
The other way, sideways.
Oh my god.
We should do like a picture group of that one day. You know, have you two stand there and I sit there. I'm a child minister.
I totally be down for promotional.
I did that when I shaved off my beard for the last time. I did do that little thing and I walked out in front of my girlfriend Frightener. She's kind of like me, but only a female. She has female parts, which is awesome.
Do they work too?
They work.
Nice.
They're very awesome. They're very, and it's not man made. Yes. But the thing is. She's not amused at all by any of my jokes sometimes. We've been together for a while, and I just come out and I go, and she goes,
"Yeah, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny?"
She's like,
"I've heard you way too long."
Yeah. Actually, my girl's the same way. You're like, nothing's even funny anymore. She used to laugh at all my stuff, and now she's like, "You're stupid."
Yeah. Another one.
I was just laughing just to sleep with you.
Now before we jump right into here, before I get too excited, because I do get really excited, is there profanity allowed?
Oh, yes, fuck yeah.
Okay, cool.
He does, yeah.
We've invented some really hard words. Because
I can say fucktard, like what she used.
Yes, we use fucktard, bretard, cretard.
Yes, we invented words, you know, bretard is if you were bred to be a retard.
No, it's a type of stupidity that breeds.
Or if your parents are actually...
Or you created an artificial retard. It's home. Yeah. This kind of retard.
And we've invented a lot of words on this show. Some of them have actually started with the word cunt, and I just added some more onto it.
It's a good start. It's a good start.
Yeah. We've also created...
I use one called cunt sauce when shit just gets splattered all over the way.
Like, yes!
Fucking cunt sauce. Cock tickle is one of my favorites.
I've created a product called Twat Cakes, the afterfuck treat from Diddle Debbie's.
Twat Cakes. Speaking of Twat Cakes, that transitions well into one segment that we do on our show sometimes, is we like to point out some stuff that's good in the Netflix that you should take a look at.
I came up with an idea where it's called Epic Queue, or Epic Fail, and it's usually Epic Queue where you're able to watch it instantly, whether it be Xbox, PS3, or Wii.
Right.
And we just try to pick out, every time we did the show, we try to pick out a
one
certain,
good, one bad.
One good, one bad, one stuff that I actually could watch and listen to, and it kind of coincides with what you were going to be covering today. So as far as your Netflix.
Now, for my two that I just want to get over with, my fail is such a fail that it wasn't even on InstaQueue yet, but it's going to be there. So it's so bad that I had to talk about it a little bit, and I don't want to get too much into it. But I finally saw one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life, Cop Out.
Oh,
really?
I finally saw it, and I love Kevin Smith movies.
Me too.
I love all of his movies. This is the worst buddy cop film ever made. It made me want to kick Kevin Smith in the balls.
Well, it's not... Well, he just directed
it. He directed it. He didn't write it. So all the dialogue, it just seemed ridiculous. It was awful casting. Bruce Willis was good, but the guy, Tracy Morgan, made me want to bash my head over.
What you talking about,
and take some meth. I felt so much dumber having to deal with this.
I will admit, I loved the opening scene.
The opening scene when he says, "Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker." That was the only funny part in the whole movie. It was like a rubberneck car crash the whole movie, though, because like, I couldn't stop watching it.
Jesus Scott Williams or whatever that
Yeah, he was... That section,
Sean
was,
Scott.
That
Scott,
that section was mildly funny, but it was...
When the dragon with the car?
When the dragon with the car, and he's giving him shit about cheating on his wife. But... It was one of those movies where it made me realize truly what Kevin Smith is. Kevin Smith is a good writer that writes good dialogue, and he's good at directing his friends. When you try to bring, quote-unquote, movie stars or script to him to have him try to produce something, he produces shit, and this is what you get, and this is why we're lucky he never did Superman or he never did any other superhero movie or anything like this, and I'm glad he's doing one more movie
He's doing the hockey movie
Hit something.
Yeah,
hit somebody. But I've been hearing great things about Red State.
Red State, he wrote. It has his people on it and everything like that. But Cop Out, stay away from this movie because you'll watch it, you can't get away from it, you'll have to watch it to the end, and it goes on too long, and it has a climax, and it's one of those movies that has a climax, yeah. It finishes, and then you have a half an hour.
You could do so it goes right back, so it has to go into the bathroom and finish itself off.
Yeah, you could do your banking, and then chat with people on Facebook, and have that playing in the background. It's almost like watching Cops. It's like, you have it in the background.
It's so bad. It made that movie...
Oh, that was funny.
It made that movie Showtime baseball with Eddie Murphy and Robert De Niro seem like Lethal Weapon 1. It was really, really bad.
So this movie's like, you know, going to see a prostitute. When you leave, you never feel satisfied.
No, you don't. And
you pay her to leave.
And you feel dirty afterwards because no condom can protect you.
You see,
really what it is.
He and I had to pay full admission to see it in the theater.
Oh, God. And did you have similar...
Okay. There were some elements to the film I really liked, but I do agree in the fact that this was the weakest thing Kevin Smith has ever done.
It was just... The plot was so convoluted with the baseball card and everything like that. Like he could have just... There was just so many points where you were like, okay, just call the police squad in right now to take care of business.
I found the end funny when Tracy Morgan puts a gun to the guy's back.
Yeah,
just sit down.
Yes, the topper, the last 30 minutes, the whole stuff with Jason Lee playing the father.
I hate Jason Lee with a passion.
Actually,
really?
Wait. Really? I hate him, but I found a show he's good in. Memphis Beats. It's his cop show.
To me, I liked him in two movies that I thought he was exceptionally funny in, Mallrats and Chasing Amy. I thought those are two movies where he was cast right for, and he was just in parts, especially Mallrats. He cracked me up a lot.
Really? Not even Dogma?
Dogma, too. Dogma as Loki. But my problem with Dogma is I'm not a Janine Garofalo fan.
Ugh,
from Kevin Smith says, the woman that's who played the main actress in that movie created, like, he had a real problem working with her, and there was a lot of things he wanted to do with that movie that he couldn't do because of her. But that being said, that's just something Kevin Smith does. I've noticed that. Kevin Smith will blame other people when things are shit. He talked about how Cop Out was great, 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 until he went to his little vocal speech thing.
Yeah,
you
know
who
he bashed? Too.
He Bruce Willis. Oh, yeah, it's hard when someone doesn't want to be your friend. Oh, it's hard when someone expects you to be a professional and direct you, Kevin Smith. Not everyone wants to be your friend. Some people just want to work in a professional atmosphere. You
no
know?
One wants to just read comic books with you.
Maybe he doesn't like Batman.
No, all the people who showed up to his evening with Kevin Smith that I went to, yeah, that was a bad mistake. 3.5 hours of just people coming up going, about the Daredevil comic, or my civil rights were violated, or...
When did you think that Greeno shot first? I thought that was ridiculous. What do you think about...
I go lie. I want Kevin Smith to be my friend, but...
Just for the weed.
No. I want him to be, like, from Jay and Silent Bob. Tell him to shut the fuck up. Shut up! Just stand there.
Exactly. Him. Imagine trying to listen to a conversation between him and Quentin Tarantino. How many times they interrupt each other.
Yes, they have. And the whole audience is now dead of a brain aneurysm.
Shut up!
No, I ain't gonna lie. I bring my paintball gun to that. And it won't shut up.
And click.
You bring in Sister Mary Elephant from Cheech and Chong.
And quickly after that, just to make me feel better, speaking of the past, I had to go back and watch a great movie for my epic cue of the week, Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh my god, the greatest Batman movie
and
ever.
And basically, any of the animated DC movies, and this comes to nowadays too, I can't get enough of what Bruce Timm does and has continued to do in the last year doing the Red Hood, which was amazing, and I guess he's doing a version of The Dark Knight Returns coming out, just the theme of everything he did coming into Arkham City, the video game, and that world, and just the influence he had on that game, having all those voice actors in there, which created, to me, my favorite video game I've played in the last 2 or 3 years, and the most excited at game that I'm for in this coming year. Mm. I love that universe, and I love that he keeps making, nowadays, great movies
with these people. And I like how they managed to keep it dark, gritty. It's no longer kid-friendly.
And that's the thing that's great about it, is it started out, even the early 90s series, started out based towards kids, but with an adult feel, and it's grown with the audience. You watch the Red Hood,
and it grows with the audience.
Because they want to keep the same fans that they had back in the day, which is us.
Which is us now, and they give us a product that we can do. And they started with the Justice League stuff and everything like that.
It's amazing. The same could be said about the comedy shows we watch as kids, Animaniacs, Freakazoid. Yep. Those grew with us because while they were geared to kids, they were also geared to adults.
And some of those people work on Adult Swim now and do all that sort of stuff.
They started out in Groundlings.
Yep.
Well, I mean, going back to it, if you look at, Jack Nicholson's Joker, that was geared for children.
Yeah. No, it was sort of a variation, the next generation of Cesar Romano's Joker of the old days.
Exactly. He gets stronger and more potent for the generations.
Heath Ledger comes in as Joker and... I'm sorry, most adults were still petrified of them.
Yep. No, and in the middle of there you have the transitional Joker, which is to me in a lot of ways the best combination of both is Mark Hamill's Joker from those cartoons, which kind of took the psychotic nature of where Heath Ledger went with it.
Yeah.
But still kept it kind of cartoony. But what Heath Ledger did in that movie. That scene, it's over talked about, but that scene when he's got the guy tied up and he's just taunting him and it's on the video camera and they're watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And he just goes, "Look at me." I saw that and I jumped up in my seat. That was like the first jump scare I've had in a movie in years.
Well, you remember, for the longest time after seeing that movie, we looked at we couldn't look at a pencil the same way.
Yeah.
It was
it's a magic trick.
I remember when I heard about that scene, I read about that scene before I saw it, and it was one of those things because I can't get enough Batman spoilers because I'm so excited about
And you
Batman.
Know who else is in that one scene is Mr. Michael Jai White, Black Dynamite himself.
Yeah. And so is Mr.
Jai White, Mr. Jackson Briggs.
Spawn!
I saw that,
Spawn was one of my all-time favorite comic book movies.
See, it's funny. I get mixed mixed feelings because I love Spawn, and I was listening to a later show broadcast where one of our guests didn't enjoy the Spawn cartoon. I like both. I like both. I love the movie, and I loved the original Spawn cartoons, especially the very beginning of it. I must have been the only one. I was sitting there watching that night as a kid,
I had HBO, I was barred from watching it. Even though it was like the thing I really wanted to watch most, I was still barred.
I watched that. In the early days of HBO, it was that, and there was this show called Dream On. That was a show based around sex in old television shows. It was about this loser guy, almost like a based on Leisure Suit Larry, the character.
Oh my god!
And he was going around trying to get women, and you'd see a lot of because it was on HBO. It was the first show on HBO.
It was a Californication before Californication.
Right, you'd see boobs, you'd see whatever.
Yeah, but I loved watching that because we actually had HBO as a child, and I was
like, in between clips, it would be like it was like I'm thinking about how to fight my best friend. Suddenly, he'd flip to a Star Trek clip of Kirk and fighting and stuff like that. It was. I mean, bet it would be bad now, but I liked it.
So, how about your? It seems like. What is your epic? What's your good stuff?
My good stuff is Mask of the Phantasm and all the Batman stuff.
Mark Hamill, one of the most amazing Jokers ever.
Well, you really can't go too wrong with Batman. They've never really made a bad one.
Batman and Robin.
Wasn't that horrible compared
to... had a thing of cyanide tablets, movie, I would have swallowed them whole.
Before you finish, I was trying to stop before you finish.
Mr. Freeze.
Look at some of these really horrible movies that we've watched. That movie still wasn't as bad as some of the other movies we've watched.
Name another movie that's worse.
Street Fighter 2.
Wait, the first
Legend of Chun-Li?
No, Street Fighter 2, the movie. Street Fighter with Raul
Street,
Julia.
Or just Street Fighter. The reason Raul Julia's dead.
Yes, movie that killed Raul Julia. Yes. Might be the worst movie.
The one that produced
of course!
An equally awful video game.
Street Fighter 2, the video game, the movie.
Okay, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. They didn't even get half the original people.
The original Super Mario Brothers.
Did it for the money.
Super Mario Brothers movie.
Okay, that was a guilty pleasure for me. Because I like John Leguizamo.
I like John Leguizamo.
I
like Dennis Hopper. But what they did with the Mushroom Kingdom... almost
they tried to make
job.
It like Batman Begins.
No, they made it too much like Demolition Man.
Yeah,
Demolition Man worked. That's my favorite Wesley Snipes movie.
Okay,
Demolition Man was a good
By the way, if this coming summer I'm going to be at a wedding with Sylvester Stallone there, and the only thing I'm going to say to him is, yo, I love Demolition Man.
And then he's just going to walk away.
That's all I want to say to him.
No, make his day. Say, I love Oscar. No, I worship Judge Dredd.
Actually, I should tell him the truth. Tango and Cash and Demolition and Day are my two favorite movies.
Tango and Cash is a great movie.
Tango and Cash might be my favorite 80s movie.
Stop or my mom will shoot.
I like Kindergarten Cop.
I'll be a lot quicker.
Wait, did you just mention Kindergarten Cop?
Yeah.
My favorite line of all time came from that movie.
Nama Duma!
I did this on the show one day, and he started laughing. You gotta do the kid line real quick.
Maybe it's a tumor.
You don't have a tumor.
Spit it out of your mouth. Spit it out of your mouth. It's not to lunch. My quick stuff is my epic fail that I did for this week. I just looked through all the stuff that I actually watch. Confessions of a Porn Addict. Made in 2008.
Hey, it's a movie about Anvil.
Thanks to a crippling porn addiction, Mark Tobias. The thing is, I thought that this was a documentary, and apparently I'm watching this, and it's filmed like a documentary.
You needed some help, yeah.
Because I wanted to watch somebody. Yeah, I need some help. I'm like, who can I turn to?
He's still watching Real Sex 7 over
I'm
and
like,
over.
I'm like, I'm watching Real Sex. Should I buy a fleshlight? Should I watch this? And I'm like, and it's like literally filming somebody. Can you actually keep a straight face? Like, you think it's hard enough to film yourself having, like, you know, being in a porn? How about film yourself pretending to whack off to porn? Like, this is the scene shot. And he's like this.
What?
I'm like, why am I watching this? Then I moved on.
I just find it funny how, you know, when they fake doing it, it looks nothing like, you know, when you actually do it.
Oh!
You mean porn! You always said this
is like a robot. There's no robot.
There's no apologies and crying. That's what happens after I do it. I start crying, apologizing. I'm sorry.
All right, and
actually, after I do it, I roll up. Yeah, that's right, bitch. Don't say a word.
That's right. Shh, quiet.
I just had the dollar bill. I'm like, here, take the money.
This didn't happen. But my epic Q win, whatever we call it, is Ip Man. Have you seen Ip Man yet?
Never heard of it. What's that one?
Never heard of Ip Man. Okay, Donnie Yen is playing Ip Man. Ip Man is the guy who trained and taught Bruce Lee everything he knows, but he's the master of Wing Chun.
Oh, okay.
And it's Ip Man 1. Ip Man 2 is not out on Netflix Instant Queue yet. I think it's on Zune right now for Xbox. But Ip Man is actually... I'm watching this because so many people are talking about, oh, yeah, he's so, like, philosophical, and he says so many cool things, like Jet Li used to say, like, back in, like, you know, the 90s. Once Upon a Time in China and stuff like that. Like, very philosophical, quiet and stuff. But, man, not only does he do that... It's like mega fighting, like he'll actually show his style, but then just brutally, like up close and personal, like punch like that with the Wing Chun, and just watch it. It's hard for me to explain how cool, because when you're looking at it, you can see somebody kick and punch, and then you go,
question. Is this filmed in old style Japanese or Chinese kind of movies, or is this a newer age?
Yeah,
like the dude's in there, the mouth is still moving.
No. This is legit, like, this is like new style. It came out.
I don't like that. I like the whole.
Yeah, with the
you killed my brother.
Prepare to die. That's the reason why it's us being critics and stuff. As far as we're not, like, you know, I would say, like, you know, I'm an amateur or whatnot critic. But watching this, you could enjoy it. It's directed by.
You took movie classes, where?
Yes. I've been in movies. Tell the subtleties, but it's got a lot of really cool. I'm not familiar with the director Wilson yet, but I'm pretty sure he's done a lot of stuff. But Donnie Yen, Simon Yam,
could he kick Afro Samurai's ass?
Yes.
Okay.
And he looks good doing it, and it's based upon the China. It was right before China got occupied by Japanese forces when they took it over. Right. So they go from, like, you know, prosperity to, like, pretty much slave labor, and he has to fight against the Japanese. But one of the guys that's actually in the movie. Who plays a supporting character, kind of like an evil guy. He was Ricky O in the live version of the movie. You remember back in the Daily Show when they used to have that film clip of the guy going and smashing the guy's
yes.
like head in, and all that graphic stuff. The one movie back in like the early 90s that was actually able to translate and actually do gory anime special effects in real life. Like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna cut and like seppuku and then pull out my guts and then strangle you with my guts because I'm such a badass.
And then I'll put them back in, stitch myself up, and go grab a burger.
Yeah, or you just cut the tendons of my arm, so I'm gonna like, and I'm gonna tie my tendons together so I can use it again.
Wait, that is possible. Remember Kurt Schilling tore the tendons?
And yeah, his foot, he stitched it up. Yeah.
He did it with his teeth, he goes, hold on for a second.
What do you do with his teeth? His legs are too long, they can't fold it up.
But he had a little gut.
He's actually still, it's so funny because he thought he was going to be the next rising star when Ricky O came out, and then I haven't seen him in anything. And all of a sudden, when I see his face, I'm like, I've seen that guy before, because he's got a beard and everything like that. Yeah. But
he was in a porno I watched.
But the action scene.
Who's in that Addicted to Be a Porno thing you watched?
Even if you just watch it for a little bit, his first fight against Simon Yam, or he faces against 10 Japanese karate, so like soldiers in karate outfits and stuff, mm-hmm. and they had to fight for food.
Yes.
And he's just obliterated. It's more than just, I'm like Bruce Lee slow, like hit, punch, punch, kick. Like, he's like hitting, and then while he's down, he'll just beat the crap out of you more. And I seem like I'm auto-censoring myself sometimes, because I feel sometimes if I'm out of my environment,
yeah.
I feel like I need to keep it, because there have been times where he had to hit the dump button on me while we were at 91.7.
Yeah, oh my god, it's the dump button.
You know, we're in a pink room.
Yeah, we're not in 91.7 air.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we're in the pink room.
So
it's you're inside of a vagina.
But yeah, it's a free zone. So definitely check that. Check out that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's one of those things we do in our show, and
bring it back to King Baby Duck.
All right. Let us move on to recent movies that have come out of the theater.
Oh God.
Let's get the remake out of the way. Oh, I know Sergeant here has been really looking forward to talking about this.
Yeah, I don't think when we were passing out locks on who gets to do what, I got Arthur. So
I chose Italia.
I got the movies here, but I'm sure he'll have a few things
and
to say.
I'm pretty sure you'll be happy.
Yeah.
You'll thank me.
So we have Russell Brand as Arthur, and you got Dame Helen Mirren as Hobson.
Yeah, I don't know if you Dame, want to if you want to like tell a little bit about the
but she's a
story
chick.
First.
Wasn't the original guy?
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Well, Arthur has to marry Susan, played by Jennifer Garner, and heiress, or he has to lose his millions. Yeah. But
you would
then,
think it would be an okay thing. But.
Yeah. But yeah,
is he a drunk?
Yes.
When doesn't he play a drunk?
But you can finish telling. All right,
but meanwhile, he falls for a girl named Naomi, who is like a fake tour guide.
Who I wanted by the end of the movie.
Me too. And she also wants to write children's books. Yep. She wrote that weird. What was it? What was the book called?
What was it called? Yeah, it was. I forget.
Me how to pee.
Teach me how to doggy.
But they have her write some.
He had a Dougie.
Yeah, throw Mama from Train in the kids' book or something, you know. Like
Dougie.
But one issue I had in this movie was there were just so many cliches.
Yes, and there were so many. What I didn't like about it was, okay, Russell Brand, I like him in bit parts in movies. I thought he was really good in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Mm-hmm. And the more I research about him, the more I realize that he isn't just a flash in the pan. He put a lot of hard work in England, doing a lot of radio promotion, a lot of recovering from heroin addiction.
Fucking Manuel's daughter.
A lot of doing...
Marrying Katy Perry
eventually, and getting that weird plastic surgery that he has.
I really hate him for that aspect, but he's gorgeous.
But, I mean, it just, to me, he didn't seem to have the same charm that Dudley Moore had. The alcohol...
It's hard.
The question you asked about the alcohol thing, Russell Brand, that never seemed... You know, he just always seemed like Russell Brand. Dudley Moore, yes. When he's drunk, was this charming, drunk guy.
I
got the liver the size of coconuts.
If Aldous Snow played Arthur...
Yes.
No difference.
I would have enjoyed it a bit, because the thing is, he seemed more refined and more well-mannered, like the way at the, like you at a wedding, like how you clean up and you dress
whoa,
nice.
Whoa, wait.
And, really?
Do you mean in Arthur, or do you mean in
Get Him to the
Get
Greek.
Him to the Greek, he seemed a little bit more like
that. Yeah, well, Aldous Snow, who is in Get Him to the Greek, yep. If he was like that, a mess, And he was in there.
No, this was
he was like a man child,
right? And a man child wrapped around parts
like
of the movie
Billy Madison?
Where he was really
yes.
It was very that's
Thank
a good
you.
Comparison.
Okay,
it was a lot like Billy Madison
because if he didn't graduate,
he didn't
lost
get the money.
I love that movie.
And it wasn't.
Oh, Doyle rules.
It wasn't anywhere near as good as Billy Madison. But the problem was there were sections where Russell Brand tried to act and be deeper and show you he was more than just that. And he really
nobody
isn't.
Wants to see him seriously act.
And what's her name? Jennifer Garner, like as hot as she is and as good of an actress as she can
she's so
be.
By the way, did you
notice when she gets
she was awful. I couldn't watch her. She played the worst stereotype BS character I've ever seen in my life.
On the plus side, when she gets stuck on the magnetic.
Yeah, she looks hot.
If you look carefully, her right tit is out.
I missed that. I'm going to have to rewatch that tonight.
Oh, see, now I want to go and see it. Just watch it on the big
Her right tit literally, like, pops
Great.
Up.
Great. Now I'm going to have to add that along with Black Swan because I just want to see
the movie.
Black Swan is great.
It's horrible.
Don't listen to him.
It's horrible.
Don't listen to him.
It's great. It's great. I'm with you on this one. Huh? Best,
who's
one
eating
of the best
who?
Movies I've seen.
It was like live.
Black Kunis is eating.
Portman.
Yes!
Oh, no.
I'd like to make an announcement, though.
Meg Griffin is eating
out.
Let me just say that. Black Swan was the closest thing to a live-action Satoshi Kon movie.
I agree.
Really?
I really love Black
Are you
Swan.
Serious? Really?
Yes.
No, I don't like Satoshi Kon.
Oh, no. Moment of silence for Satoshi Kon?
Yeah.
Moment of silence.
Okay, now back to this piece of shit, Arthur. I thought the switch in... Yeah, they did switch the character of... the character... His butler to Helen Mirren,
and she was great.
What about the Mexican?
He's not in it enough.
Louis,
he's in it at the beginning a few times, but other than that, he comes and goes for stupid comic relief. But really, the funniest part of this movie is Helen Mirren saying some really goofy, funny one-liners a couple
Wash
of times.
Wash your winky.
Yeah, watch her winky, like,
watch her winky.
And, she says some pretty cool stuff to the artist chick when, pretty mean stuff.
Yeah.
There.
Why is the Batmobile in the movie?
I'm copying this from another review that someone else said, but it's true. Every fucking Warner Brothers car is in it. You got the DeLorean is in it.
Yeah,
you got the Batmobile. It's like one of those
Mr. Machine.
You don't have star cameos. You have
you might as well just have a logo on the car cameos coming on. They brought to you by Warner Brothers.
You know that Darth Vader helmet you can get in kids in kids toys that talks like Darth Vader. That makes a cameo in the movie.
But
too.
That's not Warner Brothers. That's
I know that's the one thing.
What line does he have for?
Hello, I'm Arthur. And he drinks a Coke in front of me.
That being said, all in all,
reminds me of Wayne's World.
I didn't hate it, but it was nowhere as good as I Love You Man, Get Him to the Greek. Sarah Marshall. Nowhere as good as any of those type of movies that he's made bit parents in.
Yes, I'm. Granted, the movie has its moments, but you cannot step out of the shadow of the original.
No. And that's the problem is, and ultimately is, Dudley Moore created that character. It wasn't just a movie about Arthur and he was playing an actor. Dudley Moore went out as the Arthur character for years before doing that movie. He cultivated it. It became part of his personality.
He became an alcoholic.
He became an alcoholic because of it. This guy is clean and sober in reality right now because he was a heroin addict and a drug addict, so he can't even mess around with it. Dudley Moore played with it a little bit, had some fun with the character. You've got the wonderful, basically an okay movie. I might rent it or get it on instant Netflix. Again,
one out of five,
what
would you give it?
I'd give it a two.
A two? Okay.
One and a half.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it. For the most part, I had fun. I liked the film. The one thing I didn't like, the biggest cliche, was him hiding the engagement from Naomi.
Right.
That was the biggest cliche I didn't like.
Because that happens in every movie.
Yes.
But a talk on Naomi, the love interest. I want to see her in more movies.
I agree. She was good.
I think she was... unbelievable, and I think she's got a really good future, and you're going to see her in a lot more movies. But I'm not... I guess two is a better. 2 out of 5. I'm going back and forth. 1.5. Two. I'm giving it a 2.
I'll give it a 3 out of 5 because for the most part I enjoyed myself watching it. There were things that could have made it better, but Helen Mirren was great. Russell Brand for the most part was good. Naomi, her name is Greta Gerwig, who plays Naomi.
Why wasn't she in the previews at all?
Because they want to focus in the previews to make it think like it's an all stupid Russell Brand. Everyone, every woman that wants to have sex with Russell Brand, come see this movie.
Yes. You want to have sex with Russell Brand?
No.
Would it be weird because you'd look a little bit like Russell Brand?
I do want to have sex. I did see Futurama, it's first like,
Jesus
movie.
Fucking Christ.
No, the first movie when those aliens can split themselves in apart and they have sex with each other. And I thought about that, and we talked about that in an early issue show, that if there was a clone of yourself, complete clone, and you had sex with them.
Is that gay or is it masturbating?
Is it gay or is it masturbating? I think it's masturbating.
Could you throw them away after?
Yes. You can completely dispose of him afterwards. But that being said, I would have liked it better as a movie if it wasn't connected to Arthur. The same thing with The Karate Kid. If they just made a movie that was almost like a mild homage to Arthur, and you just call it
a mild homage,
Artie,
and you just call it Art. Yeah, you something homage. Like that. You know, you call it the main character. You know,
Artie.
Yeah, you call it, and that's it. You know, you do something like that. You don't make a remake like that. But it was an okay movie, an interesting watch, especially if you like Russell Brand.
Right. All right. Well, let's move on to the other one, Your Highness.
Oh God.
Oh, I can already tell where you're going with this one.
God.
You see, I like Danny McBride.
I love Danny McBride.
I like him so much.
I think last year was the year of Daniel McBride. I thought him...
He's bowing down.
Yep, Pineapple Express, or that might have been 2 years ago.
That was
Pineapple
2 years ago.
Express, Tropic Thunder. I thought he almost stole the show in both of those comedies.
Yes.
I love all internet stuff I've seen with him. I'm a huge fan. I was excited to see him finally do a movie. And
then you got Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, and let's get right out there. Natalie Portman looking as hot
and
as Natalie Portman
and that
ever.
Thong.
Oh my! There's one frame of it, but like I was watching it online, I freeze frame that. My God, Natalie Portman, she must have already been a little pregnant or something, so she was starting to gain a little bit of weight or something.
Right.
But she looks so hot. So hot.
Yeah.
She has that pregnancy glow about her that I like, that they get in the early months.
Right.
I have a quick question. Did you see Sucker Punch?
No. I heard horrible things about that.
So have I. But the thing is, they're saying that a lot of stuff, it's like, this movie would have been great if it was like a small thing, or if it was just...
if they went R-rated with
it. Or if it was just full battle.
Are you talking about Your Highness?
I'm talking about... Well, I'm leading into it. This is a one segue, because it seems like, from what I've seen, from what a lot of people have been talking about, this was very much like, it would have been awesome if a 13-year-old wrote it. Like, you know, based on that thing. It seemed like Sucker Punch and this movie are both based on stuff that people wrote probably when they were, like, teenagers. And then they thought, oh, I finally have this script that I get to, and I get to finally use it and make it into a movie.
To me, I struggled to see... I mean, it almost seemed like... Okay, Cheech and Chong came to a point where they made a really, really bad movie called The Corsican Brothers.
Okay.
That wasn't a bad
movie. It was bad compared to the
other Cheech and Chong movies.
Okay.
If you watch it in a time capsule and you just watch that, but compared to where they were going after Nice Dreams...
Even Fouquet.
It wasn't any good. And to me, this was like Lord of the Rings mixed with The Corsican Brothers mixed with Pineapple Express. And I like Pineapple Express.
Yes.
But... this just wasn't as funny. I mean, the only high point I had was looking at Natalie Portman and James Franco. I mean, James Franco, again,
Franco shows his ass, too?
When he tries, he can be funny.
The part that made me laugh my head off the most was when you hear James Franco try to sing.
Yeah, yes, yes. And James Franco slowly becoming cooler like his younger brother that somehow Daniel McBride plays his younger brother, which is okay, whatever. But I'm going to say a similar thing to it that I said about Arthur. I had a good time watching it, but not as much as I enjoyed Pineapple Express, Tropic Thunder, Saving Sarah Marshall, or any of...
Saving Sarah Marshall?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Are you thinking of Saving Silverman?
Saving Silverman. Yeah, Saving Silverman. Dazed and Confused. Any of the Cheech and Chong movies.
Yeah.
Superbad. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, because I want Daniel McBride to be successful, because I think he is a funny bastard. I just didn't like... This was so stuck in that genre of fantasy that it made me think about Dungeons & Dragons, the movies. The whole time I started thinking about Dungeons & Dragons, the movie. And I was like...
Roll the 12.
All that was missing was Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons. I was like, which is worse? That being said...
On the plus side, there wasn't a Wayans brother in this movie.
It wasn't a Wayans brother, and it wasn't one of those... scary movie, disaster movie crap thing.
It wasn't like the Dungeons and Dragons movie that came out with Marlon Wayans.
It wasn't that bad. I will give this movie, and this is my ranking, I give this one a 3 out of 5. I enjoyed it a little bit more than Arthur because of Natalie Portman's ass.
Okay, I think it boots.
He thought about shoving his face in it.
I did. It made me want to watch Black Swan all over again
Although,
a little bit of a spoiler, how could she swim when she had the chastity belt?
Okay, she must have taken it off and had some mermen under the water and had the key and... fish sex.
Fish rape.
It's gonna be... I wish I had the South Park song, gonna be a gay fish. Gay fish.
I'll give this a 2 out of 5 because I felt this could have been so much better.
And then
there's that part throughout the rest of the film where you see a Daniel McBride wearing the Minotaur's cock around his...
Yeah.
Which is funny, and I
heard someone else say this about this movie when I was watching it. I was watching it with somebody, and it was one of those movies. Yeah, thanks, Gayfish. It was one of those movies where it had me for a second. You know, I'd be like, "Oh, this is really funny. I really, really like this." And then just some really bad, stupid jokes. It was almost like one of those movies where the improv in it and what they were just doing off the cue was funny, but once they got to scripted stuff, they needed some punching up in the script. They needed some
work. One part that did really impress me in this film was the five-headed dragon.
The visuals.
That was great.
And that's one thing I'll say about it, because you made reference to maybe the visuals being bad or something. The visuals in this movie, it looks good.
Yes.
It looks like, really looks Lord of the Rings style. They really capture that universe. The art direction, cinematography in it was really good.
It's like the Key Grips and the sound guys.
They did an awesome job.
But like, the writing people for Lord of the Rings decided to make their own movie while everybody else was in their trailers. Oh, let's quickly make a movie.
While waiting for The Hobbit, let's just do this.
Yeah, while waiting for The Hobbit, we got to do this. And especially with The Hobbit and this new way that they're filming it with more frames per second.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous about it. We can talk about this at a different show or a different encounter. But
well, Roger Ebert has been all for like 48 frames a second.
I'm just curious how it's going to transmit.
I will have to see this movie.
It is very good.
Thank you, Roger.
Roger Ebert.
Roger here.
You have to have the bubbling noise because he's in that, you know, cryogenic chamber.
Wait.
Not talk. He's got to talk.
Keep that up, man.
Hello, I love it very much. It is a very good movie. Thank you, Ryan.
I passed out.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you.
Okay,
but yeah. Those are new movies right now. Yeah.
All
right.
Okay. Anvil, it's your turn.
We talk movies for long enough. We crack Anvil up. So it's time for the week in sports.
Please move on.
Too much fun. Must move on to next segment.
Well, this week in sports, we have a lot of stuff going on. And I'm going to move to my daddy now.
Good boy.
Good little guy.
I know.
Get us some Slim Jims.
I was just thinking that I wanted
a Slim Jim. Slam into a Slim Jim! I think I just had an aneurysm.
The Shockmaster!
Oh, the Shockmaster!
The whole boob!
I just did a 2x4.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what we're talking about, we watched the Shockmaster video on YouTube, the entrance video on WWE. Look it up. If you're watching, yeah, it's pretty
funny. It's the most epic fail.
And our partner is going to shock the world! The Shockmaster!
All I can say is sparkly Darth Vader helmet. That's all I can say.
Darth Vader got attacked by a 5-year-old girl with a bedazzle.
Yep. Gold dust and Darth Vader had sex. Oh! Yeah, thank you for my old school wrestling friends for knowing who Goldust is.
He did wrestle here in Lynn a few times.
Did he? In sort of the newer
circuit. He did do an appearance.
Emory. I actually saw him
at the Liberty Tree Mall.
Yeah, but he actually did the Lynn Armory's event when I was
so
a kid.
So did Rick.
Rick Rude?
Ravishing
Rick Rude.
No,
Jimmy Superfly Snook and all that came too. Which was like really cool. And Paul Bearer.
Donnie the Dragon Wilson. Fought Kimber. Don Kimber or whatever in Lynn.
Yep.
Moving on, I'm not a sports guy.
This week in sports, we can start right away with the Bruins. The wonderful Bruins losing the other night to the Canada Fox.
So, the playoffs started this week.
Yep.
And the Bruins started off at home against the Montreal Canadiens.
Fuck
you, man!
And do you know what's going to happen? Like, every year, the Bruins have a great regular season team that's built wonderfully. And I have a sad feeling.
It's like the Red Sox in Tampa Bay.
Can't. No, it's just the.
No, I just didn't want to talk about
that. Oh, you didn't want to talk about the Red Sox?
Yes.
Nah. We'll talk about that.
I thought it was a sound thing.
It doesn't capture.
Oh, it doesn't capture. Okay, good.
No, it does capture.
Oh, it does capture. So, my problem with the Bruins, and I think it might change in recent years, is I think every time that they're very, very close to being right there, they don't spend that little extra money to get the one player in or to keep the team. I'm still hurt about the Allison, Joe Thornton. What was the third guy in that team? They had the third guy in that.
We don't talk about that trade.
Okay. That trade, that the whole Thornton trade and getting rid of him. I like that team. They had a good foundation of a hockey team.
Thornton didn't want to be here.
I know, but who cares? We pay your bills. Take the money. He wants to go out to California so he doesn't have to deal with the media, so he can sit out in San Jose and deal with the California media that's like, oh, did you like the sun today? And that's all the California media does, but no, we're
out in Boston. Just like Phil Kessel wanted to go back to Canada.
Allison hurting his wrist really, really sucked for that team. But anyways, we'll talk about the Bruins now. They lost to the Canadiens.
2-0, but Carey Price was on his mark. We only had one good shot at it, and somehow we missed. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Carey Price didn't cut a puck in half during this game, because he threw his foot up there, and you actually see it bounce off the bottom of his skate. Once the puck split, go in, like, 2 points.
The good thing is, though, no matter what happens in the series, we'll never face the embarrassment that we did a couple years ago when we were the number one team, and they were the... Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just horrible right now.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk about the meltdown.
We don't talk about the meltdown. We don't talk about any of that.
No, we don't.
So, basically, let's just wish the Bruins the best, and I think that maybe they can pull it off, because, you know, I don't know. Let's hope.
Yeah, we play again tonight, which is Saturday, at home, so let's cross our fingers that we can go back to Montreal tied up.
And yeah.
Does anybody else hate watching the beginning of the game because they sing the Canadian national anthem in French?
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. I used to hate when, just to connect it to wrestling, I used to hate when I have to go to wrestling matches at the old Boston Garden.
Who is this Thornton you speak of?
I used to hate when I'd have to listen to the Russian national anthem and Ivan Volkov would sing it. But yeah, I don't want to hear the damn Canadian national anthem,
especially in French.
Right? No, come on. Oh Canada, my
this we leave this new French
language. Oui, oui, sans
fromage. Fromage.
Is that some Esperanto?
Charlie Chaplin joined the West.
Is that Esperanto? Some weird language that
it is the official language of the UN.
Nobody actually knows how to sing the Canadian national anthem in French, really?
Nope.
Wee wee poo poo.
La la.
French Hulk. French Hulk.
Baguette. Wee wee. French French. La la.
We love the wine and all of our heavy women.
Well, speaking of playoffs, right now happens to be close to my favorite time in sports. It's once, you know, I'm not a big baseball fan, I gotta be honest. Especially the beginning of the baseball season is boring to me. But once football starts and you still got a little bit of the NBA playoffs at the beginning of football, I'm an NBA fan, and also the Celtics start tomorrow facing the New York Knicks in the NBA playoffs.
Let's be polite.
Limping into the playoffs.
Yes.
Falling back asswards into the playoffs after what I think was one of the stupidest trades in Celtic history. As much as I want to give Danny Ainge credit, and no, I'm not making Perkins Bill Russell.
Whoa.
I'm not making Perkins. No, wait. I'm not making.
Whoa!
I
don't even deserve to be in the semifinals.
No, no. But what matters in basketball more than any other sport is team chemistry.
Yes.
And more than any of the other big sports, chemistry between five guys and a
football.
Four. Football.
You need it in football.
You need it in the line. You need it in individual spots in football. The backs can hate their linemen as long as all the linemen make an agreement.
And the quarterback and wide receivers and the linebacker and quarterback.
In those organizations. But in a basketball team, the five men on the court need to get along. And what you did getting rid of Perk was you pissed off the second best point guard in the league more than anybody. And he's playing like he's pissed off. And they need Rondo to really step up in the playoffs if they want to win anything. And they also need Big Daddy Shaq to give you 10 minutes a game. Because Jermaine O'Neal, if you're expecting anything from Jermaine O'Neal, I've seen Jermaine O'Neal his whole career. He does bleep? I can say shit. He does shit in the playoffs. Yeah, I said
sir.
I said shit.
Language.
I'm just pissed off about this because I'm pissed off about this because I'm a huge Celtics fan. More than any other sports team, I bleed effing green. Some of my earliest memories as a child is Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, that team. Even post them winning, Larry Bird on an Easter day hitting a 3-point shot against the Portland Trailblazers, descended into double overtime to beat Clyde the Glide Drexler's team.
My earliest sports memory was meeting Rick Fox and Robert Parrish.
Rick Fox, yep, Rick Fox. Amazing. And
I do bleed the green and gold. That's
the Bruins too, Gary. And the gold colors.
What the gold colors in the Celtics.
And yes, let's get into Cybertorn. I love Antoine Walker. That run when they made it into the Eastern Conference Finals against the New Jersey Nets, and when they lost that series because Paul Pierce couldn't step up and Kenny Anderson just could not stop Jason Kidd on penetration.
Well, remember,
Antoine Walker was one of the best clutch NBA players that was ever out there, because when crunch time came, he'd hit that three. He'd throw it up so much. There was this game against the LA Lakers during that season where there was like 5 seconds left. They inbound the ball to Antoine. Antoine dribbles down, takes a Walker wiggle, and just tosses it from like right over half court. Bank shot in. Go home, Shaq and Kobe.
The Walker wiggle.
And I loved when he wiggled into the casinos and got those checks and did that. I don't know. I have a major man crush on Antoine Walker. Crush.
Whoa.
On Antoine Walker. See, I'm losing my mind over that.
You're losing your mind in general.
And I wish Antoine the best through his current situation. Through prison,
through your many boyfriends that you'll have there.
Through wasting $100 million. But that being said, to get back to the regular Celtics, I bleed green, and seeing them win the championship a couple of years ago against the Lakers, and even seeing them getting back there, and I believe that if Perk wasn't hurt, they would have won Game 7.
Easily.
It just sucks to me that what Doc Rivers said, we'll never get a chance to see that to fruition. That team, that five-person team of Perk, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Rondo never lost a series. I know Perk wasn't going to stay there, but do a sign and trade at the end of the year. Sign him and then trade him. Danny Ainge said in retrospect that he wouldn't have done the trade. Come on, Ainge. You're an idiot. That's it. Celtics.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I just want to talk about one more sports thing quickly. Sorry. The Barry Bonds situation. I feel like we have to.
I was actually moving to this next.
Okay, so I'll let you bring it up here.
Yeah.
Okay, so in baseball, I'm going to skip the Sox for a second. I'll hit Barry Bonds first.
Yeah, of course.
Jury came back after, you know, deliberation. On four counts, three were hung jury, one guilty of
obstruction
of justice, which, now, this is the stupidest thing in the world.
Do
you know why they found him guilty?
Because they had to. They had to find him guilty on something to
do you know why
damn witch
the
hunt.
Charge came? He was asked a question, and he didn't say yes or no. He just walked around it.
Did he plead the fifth on it?
No, he sat there and he told a story, like, you know, man, this happened, and then the butterflies showed up with the dragons and the unicorns, and...
And we all had cake and ice cream, and it was the best day ever.
They said, straight up, did you use steroids?
The end.
And he didn't say yes or no, he just talked.
At least he didn't lie to Congress, like... Rafael Palmeiro did, or like Mark McGwire cried his eyes out, and now somehow is back in baseball. Like Manny Ramirez, when they asked him, sorry, I can't say his name right now, but Manny Ramirez, when they asked him, do you do steroids? And he goes, I can't speak English. And now he's retiring, so he doesn't have to deal with the steroid
out. I'm going to Spain with my dad.
Yeah.
Or Big Poppy, or Nomar suddenly showing up on Sports Illustrated, ripped. After a year of off, I'm just, all I'm saying is I hate Barry Bonds. I think Barry Bonds is probably one of the most loudmouth he has been his whole career.
He doesn't deserve to be anywhere near the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right. And I think he has an ego bigger than most sports athletes, which is pretty damn big. Roger Clemens.
No. Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan's close. But Roger Clemens is another close one that I just meant to mention in my list of people that did steroids that are just dodging the question. The only person that's been honest about it is Andy Pettit. He's admitted...
Big Poppy.
And Jose freaking Canseco.
And
Canseco's the one that started this whole thing.
With the book, yeah.
But, truthfully, Canseco. Ortiz, he did address this, and he said straight out, he's like, I didn't do anything. He's like, I've actually petitioned the league to find out what I failed on.
Now, this is a bigger question, though. Why, and this is why I mentioned all those other people. My only problem with this whole situation, and like I said, I hate Bonds, and I could give a crap less. But it seems to me that why is he the poster boy? Because he has the record?
No, because what it is...
Palmeiro lied to the grand jury, too. Why don't they have him up there?
Because they didn't have enough evidence to prove that Palmeiro lied.
And obviously they don't have enough evidence to prove Barry did anything
either. The reason he became the poster boy is his former trainer.
Balco thing. But Balco...
They turned on him, though. Because the former trainer turned on Barry Bonds and gave up his name.
Okay,
so said he had evidence.
So he gave him to Congress, and therefore...
They had proof. But they couldn't prove it by jury, because the videotapes got thrown out because they were illegally obtained.
To me, it almost seems like they're doing it to Barry just because he's the biggest prick of them all.
Yeah. But, you know, in the way...
It's weird because he's got the tiniest because of the steroids. Because
of the steroids and the biggest head. It's almost like...
Well, truth be told, the only person on that list I don't believe I actually use is Ortiz.
Yeah.
Because you could actually see in his face that he was hurt that his name was on the list.
He just got old. You know, I think he just got old. And he came back last year and had a great year. Yeah, no, and he was... The person I think in Boston and I mentioned him briefly, that I think gets the biggest pass is Nomar. I really do think Nomar used, and then, because part of what happens when you stop using is your muscles fall apart.
Oh, come on, and he goes to run out of the box and tears it off.
And just turns his head and his arm, like, he was suddenly the glass man when he quit. And the other guy that gets talked about how clean he was Junior there, Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. made a lot of jokes about it, but in his prime, he was all... And then suddenly, injuries everywhere. And, I mean, I'm just speculating here.
I mean, those could happen.
We're doing the same thing with Bonds. People are saying he did it, and I think, visually, I see it. I see the thing, but is visual evidence
enough? This is what I was talking to Andrew about.
This is my argument on this one. The man played pro baseball for about 22 years.
He was a Hall of Famer before... I mean, before... Or do you mean... Okay, played total.
And if you lift... Okay, because I'm a lifter. I can physically tell you can get that big lifting in that amount of time.
Yeah.
And you build the strength, but like everybody says, steroids make you a better player. No,
they
make you stronger. You still have to hit that...
They let you work harder. Ted Williams said this a long time ago, and it's true. The hardest thing to do in professional sports is to hit a baseball. And I'm sorry, just building your muscle. Steroids do not increase your hand-eye coordination.
And doesn't increase the size of your bat.
Right. Yeah, and it decreases the size of your bat.
That ball's coming at 99 miles an hour. You still have to swing and make contact.
Yeah, exactly. It allows you to train more. And that's why I think, ultimately, something you touched upon. If one of these guys makes it into the Hall of Fame, if Roger Clemens makes it into the Hall of Fame, Barry Bonds should too.
Yep.
If they should just make a section. This room over here is the steroid section.
It's
just
the asterisk section.
Call it the steroid age of baseball, or say it, or something like that. Just like you can call the 40s and the 50s the cocaine age of baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth were sticking everything in their nose or their mouth to give them amphetamines or anything. Hank Aaron took amphetamines the last 3 or 4 years of his career just so he could pop out those last couple home runs. Do we want to take away his records? I mean, where's the cutoff? Where's the cutoff?
Steroids, you can buy. And they're not truly illegal.
Yep.
But
I had to take prednisone for a while for a bug bite. It actually did make my head.
Yeah.
I started to look like Jerry Lewis. My head started to get a little like fleshy.
Yeah. Like Ken Griffey in the Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
Ken Griffey in the Simpsons episode.
That happened to me a little bit.
Like, doctors would truly give you steroids, but they won't give you cocaine. They won't give you heroin.
Nope.
Here you go. Here's your heroin today. Thank you.
They'll give you.
You see, back in the 1890s, when they would use it for eye surgery, that's when they would use it.
Or for teeth surgery as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so Bonds is what he is. And the only other thing sports wise I wanted to just mention, and I don't know if you have anything else after this, is I want to mention Kobe Bryant. I feel like I have to mention something about Kobe Bryant.
Yes, okay.
Kobe came out, if anybody didn't hear it, and he called a referee
a word that I don't like to use.
Right. A negative homosexual term.
Yeah, it starts with an F and ends with a T.
Right. He called him a bag of sticks.
Yes.
He called him a bag of sticks.
But the worst part is, it's not like he just said, he said Bernie, which is a referee's name.
You bleep. Okay.
On national television.
Now,
on his face.
I don't want to get into a whole debate on whether you should say that word or not necessarily in a regular context. The point is, he's a professional athlete. He's somebody that
people
look up to. Fans look up to him. And he basically came out, apologized, gave what I thought was the biggest BS apology I've ever seen in my life since he raped somebody.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about this guy.
Allegedly,
thank you. I just want to get across, like, I don't want to talk about the details of the stories and all that. I just want to talk about this guy, Kobe Bryant, that has such an ego on him. It's almost like what happened to OJ after he got away with murder, allegedly. He thought he could get away with anything, so he thought he could show up to a building to a hotel with a gun in his hand going, "Give me back my memorabilia, mother grabber," and that they wouldn't try to set him up and throw him in the jail.
Well, the thing is, they didn't get him for stealing his own stuff. They didn't get him for the gun. It's because he stood in the doorway. Walk out the front door.
You can hear the audio of it. He's just like,
"This is OJ. I want my stuff back. I have a gun in my hand."
And I think, unfortunately,
I blocked the door now
because of the whole Colorado
murder.
I think, unfortunately, because of the whole Colorado alleged rape incident, that Kobe Bryant and the fact that his wife forgave him and that everybody forgave him
and
his shirt became the
that
number
custom
one
custom car.
And everything that he thinks he can get away with everything. He thinks he can just, this guy's gonna kill somebody one day and be like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And I call it now. I'm marking it right now. What day is this? What's the date today? Today is April 16th, 2011, on the Boston Bastards Brigade podcast. I am saying Kobe Bryant will kill somebody someday because allegedly.
He could do what Dick Cheney did.
He could. He'll shoot somebody like that.
He's going to pull an OJ. He's going to kill his wife.
Allegedly.
No, we're predicting now. It's not allegedly if it's predicted.
Allegedly.
What the leg pie?
Listen, we went into the Minority Report virtual reality booth that has in the other room, and we saw Tom Cruise told us that this is going to happen.
It was Kobe having sex with a dude.
Okay, it was Kobe Bryant with the lead pipe in the kitchen.
Yes, in the kitchen.
And they find the Jewish waiter out in the
driveway. Shabbat shalom, baby. Shabbat shalom, allegedly.
Poor guy doesn't even live near the area. He had no clue.
But that's my whole point. He got fined $100,000. Everyone forgives him. He's the kids. He apologizes. It's like Charlie.
I haven't forgiven.
And I don't care what he says.
I love him.
But I don't. Know who he is. You're like, who's this Kobe Bryant? It's almost to me like it was one of those things when he's like, I didn't say that. It's like Charles Barkley trying to say I was misquoted in my own book. Come on, you said it.
Sorry.
He saw it. We heard you say it. There's no getting away from it. Just admit. He came out and he was like, I didn't do it. We got it on tape. You said it, Kobe.
Well, come on. OJ wrote a book, If I Did It.
If I Did It, yeah. If I Did It, this is how I would have done it.
And it says, I did it with a tiny if on the top.
Gosh dang, goddamn, damn you, Kobe Bryant. That's it. I'm done with sports.
Okay, thank you.
Well, let's get back into Red Sox.
All right, so the Red Sox played last night with the worst record in all of baseball.
I cannot believe this.
I just can't get into baseball this early in the season. There's too many games, but okay, keep going.
And, you know, Clay Buchholz looked good. He allowed 3 runs. Blah, blah. Bobby James comes in, gives up 4. The rest of the team looked really good. 8th inning, we're down 7-3. We score 3 runs. We're down by 1. I'm excited, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to have a question after you're done with the Red Sox.
So then Papelbon gets in. He looks really sharp, gets him out. Unfortunately, we still lose the game 7-6.
Now, what do you think about moving Daisuke to middle relief?
I say move him off the team.
You say move him off the team? See, I think he needs... I still think he has enough skills. I think he needs less pressure. I think the pressure of starting a game... He only has a couple good pitches, and he needs...
Still don't think he's used to the longer baseball seasons.
Yeah. And his body couldn't...
He's been here long enough.
What's his name is?
Hideki
Okajima. Yeah. But then you also got to look at other teams. Hiroki Kuroda, he still pitches very well for the
Dodgers. Nomo did good his whole career and stuff like that.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, right? Nomo's great.
Ichiro Suzuki
is, to me, my favorite leadoff man.
Ever.
Maybe since Ricky Henderson, but...
Ricky.
I liked Ricky as a kid because he was just so damn cocky. And I liked those A's teams with McGuire. I liked the Bash Brothers team.
There's only one reason I liked Ricky Henderson. I got to watch Nolan Ryan get 5,000th career strikeout.
I got on against him, yes.
Yes.
August 17th, 1989. Boom!
I just think Daisuke, he has enough pride and he has enough guts inside him somewhere that he has a use for the team. Whoa. I think middle relief, maybe long relief.
Truthfully, I say maybe long relief, if anything, and take Tim Wakefield and move him back into starting.
Yeah.
Because Wakefield's only a few wins shy.
Just give Wakefield, let him start until he dies.
This is it. He's already said he's
retired at the end of the season. No one in the history of baseball, let alone sports, has played the game better than him. And by play the game, I mean... do you want me in long relief? I'll go in long relief. Do you want me to close? I'll do that. Do you want me to start? Yeah. And change him 10 times during a season. Ask any pitcher, professional pitchers, you got to train your body before the season for what kind of pitching. I know he's a knuckleball pitcher and he pitches differently, but there's still some strain on the arm.
I'm going to tell you guys a little story about Tim Wakefield real quick. You know he was never supposed to make it pro? He was drafted as a shortstop by the Pirates.
Really?
Yeah, he played minor league and they said, you'll never make it pro as a shortstop. He learned the knuckleball and made it.
Do you know Randy Macho Man Savage was a professional baseball player briefly? Yes. He played catcher, and so did his brother, Leaping Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, they played
the Poffo brothers. Yeah, the Poffo brothers.
Lanny Poffo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would throw out poems on frisbees when he came out to his wrestling matches.
Well, my favorite my favorite family group are the Molinas.
Yeah,
Jose, Yadier, and I always forget the other one.
But I think, honestly, I think any... This is why I don't like baseball early part of the season, and why I kind of have an aversion to Boston sports fans. Because Boston Red Sox sports fans are going way too crazy too early right now. I know it's tough when you start a season like this, but there's 100 in 62 games. You have two of the better pitchers in the league, I think, in your team, and you have Beckett, who has looked pretty good this season. He's been the, if Beckett can look this good all season, he's going to be 12-5, 12-10. You know what I mean? He's going to get he's going to get 12-15 wins. That's all you need from him.
Lester's the guy on the team that's looking the best. He's just not getting the run support.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's, we've gotten all this lip service about how this team is going to be such a great hitting team. And let's just give him time.
But, all right, I only got one last thing to touch on. No, we're just about out of time. And yeah. I got to get going in a couple minutes because I got to head to that party. But, all right, I sent this over to the doc, and I sent it to the other two gentlemen that were supposed to be here.
But aren't
they're not here.
Oh, and I listened to the whole R.E.M. album for you with Kevin.
Italian.
We talked so much about movies.
Yeah, we did. We got lost in that. But that's okay.
So, Greg Olson, from tight end for the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to a local high school right down the street to practice. The gym coach walks out and says, "Excuse me, don't you play in the NFL?" He says, "Yes." And he's like, "You have to leave now." He said, "There's a lockout in football."
Yeah, the lockout. I actually talked about this on here.
You're not allowed to use high school fields either.
Really?
I was watching a thing about this morning right before I left. Matt Hasselbeck, quarterback for the
Seattle
Seahawks, said that him and a couple wide receivers meet up in a parking lot in front of, like, a, you know, convenience store when they close.
Ocho Cinco's playing soccer now. Yeah. Someone's going into boxing. Someone's going into Ultimate Fighting.
It's just weird. Wow. Nate Burleson said, you know, who now plays for the Lions, said that he's working out in parking lots
too. It's all about money, right?
Yeah, it's all about the NFL.
Splitting
of the money. The owners.
$9 billion.
The owners are making ridiculous money. And the players signed a contract years ago, not realizing what kind of television promotion this was coming. And the players are just asking for a better deal. The owners want 18 games. The players are like, bleep, 18 games.
I love the thing that I just saw the other day.
Well, it's NFL itself. It's not the team owners.
I'm making millions. You're making billions. I want some billions.
But here we go.
It's millionaires arguing with millionaires over millions.
There was one smart idea that I did see come out of this. Now, all these rookies coming in, number one, number two, whatever, they're making a shit ton of money. Not a lot of them are failing. Jamarcus Russell's
a bunch
of them.
Oh, God.
They want to
I'm a Raider fan. Don't tell me about Jamarcus Russell.
But they're saying, take all that guaranteed money and get rid of it. Don't give it to these players. And take that same amount of money and put it into the retirement funds.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that idea.
Yeah, no, I agree. And honestly, that's the biggest gripe that the Players Association has that makes sense. They're saying that, Ted Johnson's leading the charge too, or one of the people leading the charge.
With the brain, is saying that
there's all this post traumatic stuff that's happening with football players.
I've seen it though.
And you can see it. Mm-hmm. And that there's, similar with the military, that there's not enough benefits happening for players in getting some sort of financial reimbursement of the money that the NFL is constantly making, getting put into some fund to help these players that are going through some serious shit, to be honest with you, because of playing football. I got hit so hard
my eyebrow got busted open.
It hurts.
I just don't picture you as a football player.
I played football for 7 years, dude. I was crazy.
I can picture it.
Crazy on the football field.
Just look at the eyes, man.
I go into psycho mode, man. You get me on a basketball court now, I'm even the same way.
I'm the friendliest guy you guys will ever meet. Before the game, I get heavy death metal in my ears. I'll beat you in a race any day.
I'll race you under yard dash,
Riley. I'll kill you. I'll have this in my hair.
I'm gonna end sports here. I'll figure you know let's wrap up.
Yeah. Wow. We went. We didn't even get to touch half the shit we had planned.
Yeah, basically, RBM album was good. I thought half the songs were good, half the songs were bad. I had some songs I liked, some songs were old school REM style, and some of them were actually progressing new. I was surprised by it, but there was some boring religious.
I can kind of understand that. But let's see. Yeah, Italia. What did you think of Italia?
where do I start? Okay, I would have enjoyed it better if I was high. Very high, or on LSD and watch that, because it's almost like I wrote notes, but it almost looked like John Madden, like, hey, we're going here, we're going to go around here. Music starts,
and a lot of crazy dancing and everybody loud stuff right here. It's probably marketed toward 12-year-olds, loud noises.
Do you know John Madden got voted the most annoying video game character of all time?
Yeah. No doubt. Really? It's like, we're America, we're Germany, we're France, haha, Germans are our leaders, haha, right here, spaghetti, pizza, haha, inaccurate displays of the World War, it's the Romans, then it's World War One, and then, haha, we're laughing, now we're anamorphic characters, haha, credits. 5 minutes. 5 minutes for each episode.
Really?
So I watched two.
Were they almost
couldn't
like
take it anymore.
Were almost like those early Star Wars, Clone Wars episodes that were like 2-3 minute episodes and stuff like that, just real quick, bam, 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 bam.
Like it was
more out, it's more out of there.
Like in your face, like... Like, boom, 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 boom. Like,
hey, Germany, Germany, hey, I've got a great plan.
I'm France, I'm like, oh, I'm so... It's like, it's, here, let's see if I just pull up something really just because, just to show you, because we both have seen it.
Okay, you see, well, I enjoyed it, because I got a lot of the World War One, World War Two humor to it, and I got the little stereotypes of each country.
Like, I love anime, but the thing is, like, when I was growing up, I couldn't, like, oh, okay, I could go to church, but I can't stand the people who are super religious. It's like,
right.
I love anime. I don't hate it. I love anime, but the thing is, sometimes when I was at Anime Boston, which is next weekend,
yeah,
right?
which is where I'm going.
Is where you're
going
to be going. When I was working Anime Boston in 2008, I could not stand the super fans. I wanted to shake each one. They go was wearing the game shirt, or everybody was dressed up like
Naruto.
I can relate to you guys because I'm a Star Trek fan, but like straight out Star Trek geeks, like the total Trekkies.
Let me ask you, when someone yelled out Marco, did you want to just punch him in the face?
Like that, or I object, or like, it was just like, oh, I'm a cube from Portal, or I'm, like, you must have saw a million, like, swear to God, a million Naruto characters, a million Full Metal Alchemist characters, a million of these certain characters, and I was like, oh, it's cute, because girls are, like, you know, boys are, like, you know, dressed up like girls, and it's just... I'm telling you, man, anime fans, it's one thing for Star Trek. I don't know if Star Trek fans are dirty and they're like very, like, you know, pornographic, but like anime fans can get
that smile says yes.
I don't know, 7 of 9, Dax, a horror porno.
And
there.
I love how the other super fans that are dressed up as the characters
Star
can
Wars
be also extremely overweight, and it's like, you know, you got like one person, three sizes.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, I'd like to thank the Boston Bastard Brigade for having me and JC Riley, me the issues guy, and JC Riley in here for the Boston Bastard Brigade. And we look forward to joining the Esh team. You can follow me at IGotIssuesMan@twitter.com or find the issues guy on Facebook fan page. And you can follow him at JC Sargent at Twitter.
Issues guy, Facebook, issues man, issues shows you stream, and
do
JC Sargent.
And look forward to some upcoming news for us joining the Esh team. We're excited.
And remember, visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com.
Yes. Boston Bastard Brigade.
For
do
news,
it.
Reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring
sports,
all
everything.
Of us.
Everything.
Yes, everything. And if you got any questions, comments, you can reach us at TheBastards at BostonBastardBrigade.com.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Anvil. Thank you, King Baby Duck.
No problem. Check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood.
Yeah, ESH, definitely.
MOBI. Also, check out Kikagro.
We have our buddies, Gamer Reaction. They're not affiliated with us, but they're good friends of ours.
And, of course, check out Nostalgia Critic and Angry Video Game Nerd and Spill Crew, because you should check out all that stuff. It's awesome.
And Angry Joe.
Angry Joe, yeah.
Angry Stop Joe. Watching the TV. Listen to audio dramas. Check out We're Alive. It's available on iTunes for free. 100 times better than Walking Dead.
Joe Rogan, Adam Carolla, two awesome podcasts. If you get a chance, check out both those dudes.
And even though we're kind of making fun of them, the Smodcast, too.
Smodcast.
Face Rocker.
Especially when he's done promoting Red State, he'll get back to good Smodcast, because I'm just hearing a little bit too much Red State from my life.
The Adam Carolla, yeah.
Adam Carolla puts on a great damn...
The reason why I'm starting to listen to Adam Carolla is because he co-hosted the...
The Man Show.
The Man Show, but the thing is...
Loveline.
While Kevin Smith was away doing his promotions, the Hollywood Babylon was co-hosted by different people. They had John Lovitz and they had Adam Carolla do one of them. And Adam
Carolla, we can do a whole nother show right here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Yes, and until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Anvil.
Saying sayonara, bitches. We are the Bastards.